Now, today we have Joseph Bannister. Joseph is an ex-IRS CID agent, you know, Criminal Investigation Division, that was out using his gun to enforce tax laws. Now, what I want Joseph to tell me is that as you got into this, I would imagine you had to have some kind of training. Was it law enforcement training or what?
Yes, 16 weeks of law enforcement training at the Federal Law Enforcement Training Center in Glencoe, Georgia.
Now, 16 weeks, okay? Now, that's a long time. So it's not like on the weekends. I mean, they sent you for 16 weeks. You know, you live in barracks, you wake up, you go to training, you go to sleep there. We're talking like a military training, I'd imagine,
right? That's right. Uniforms and, fairly, not as rigid as the military, but certainly a fairly rigid curriculum.
Would you call it, mindset indoctrination? I mean, are they getting your mind right, boy?
No, I mean, it was more just education, but, you know, the thing is they're not telling you the whole truth, so I guess in that sense you could call it indoctrination, but, I think most of the people that go to the IRS training come from the IRS. I was one of the oddballs that came from the private sector, but many special agents in the IRS were formerly auditors or collection officers in the IRS, so it's not much of
a big leap for them, huh?
Yeah, exactly.
So let's go ahead and get this right. And this may be the reason why you've kind of came to the conclusion fairly rapidly, is that you weren't indoctrinated into the system from the beginning. You came in as an adult. I mean, you're married. You got two young boys. And all of a sudden, you're asked to go out with a gun and say, your money or your life. You're a highwayman for the man, for the king, for the government. So I'm going, okay, I can see where this would wear on your sense of right and wrong, but what was the first case that you went out? There was an individual and this was in San Francisco, right?
I live in San Jose, but yeah, San Francisco Bay Area.
Okay, so you're going to someone, and when was the first, the second, the 15th, the 20th person that you went, and you go, I'm not real comfortable with what we're doing here. How long did that take?
Well, it really didn't work quite that way because, special agents, their investigations can last 1, 2, or 3 years. I mean, they literally take a ton of time to gather the evidence. So the cases that I was working were primarily money laundering cases, and the tax cases that I did involved people who, lied on their tax returns. They would say on their tax return that they made $80,000 when really they made $380,000. So I wasn't dealing with the kind of people that were, saying that the tax laws were actually illegitimate or illegally enforced.
So how'd you come to that?
Well, it was through a radio show that I was listening to while I was working, and this woman, D.V. Kidd, came on the radio and said that the income tax was largely voluntary, that most Americans weren't required to pay it. And when I heard that, I thought, that's outrageous. But the talk show that I was listening to had always been truthful in the past, so it prompted me to look into it, and I expected within 3 or 4 weeks that I would find out that it was a crock and go on with my life. But, 2 years later, I was still trying to see where it was a crock. In other words, what she was saying turned out to be true, and what the IRS was saying and doing turned out to be what she claimed, that they were exceeding their authority. And so, I was having to disprove claims about the income tax that were contrary to everything that I'd ever been taught in my life. So when I opened Pandora's box, I started looking at these tax laws, I encountered like 80 years worth of deception. And so it took me a great deal of time, and I devoted as much as I could, dodging my, soccer coaching and, parental and husbandly things. And so it took a couple of years before I really had enough evidence to feel like I could confront my bosses at the IRS and say, look, guys, I've gone to bat for this agency and for the income tax and tried to find the holes in these so-called, these claims that seem outrageous. But the fact is, the evidence shows that this agency is really breaking laws. They really are knowingly coming up with these schemes to deceive Americans, and I didn't come to this investigation or this conclusion because I'm some wishful thinker. I mean, I'm making $80,000 a year here, and this job's secure, and it's interesting, and this is not the conclusion I expected to come to, and I'd like you gentlemen to help me understand why I would come to this conclusion.
Well, what did you expect was going to happen? You come to these people and you say, you know what, our existence is in doubt here. In fact, as a CPA and now as an IRS agent that's been enforcing this for, you know, up to 5 years at that time, and you say, you know, I'm beginning to question the justification for our existence. Well, what did you think they were going to do?
Well, I realized that they probably weren't going to be too happy about my investigation or my conclusions, but the fact of the matter is every agent that I told about this took the same oath to support and defend the Constitution that I did. And whether or not it was easy, they had a responsibility and a duty to address my concerns. Now, I didn't do this, you know, on the radio or in the newspapers. I did it in an office with my superiors. And I said, look, I've got a track record here as a hardworking agent, and I've done this research, and I need someone to show me why I shouldn't be very concerned that what I'm doing is actually breaking laws and violating people's rights, because I'm not supposed to do that. It's illegal, it's immoral, it's unethical. And if it's illegal and moral and unethical for me, then it certainly is for my bosses.
Well, you shouldn't be in that job position. I think they found out their mistake, and we're going to talk more about it when we come back on 1100 KFNX. Go to freedomabovefortune.com, and you'll get the information. We'll be right back.
With news on the Information Radio Network, I'm Steve Sawyer. A physician working as a translator at the U.S. prison camp for terror suspects at Guantanamo Bay, Cuba, was arrested at Boston's Logan Airport this morning. We have more with
A federal law enforcement official says he had yet to meet with his client. Assistant U.S. Attorney Michael Ricciuti refused to discuss the case and would not say whether making false statements was the only charge against Mahalba. Matt Pitta, Boston.
President Bush is directing his staff to cooperate fully with an investigation into a leak of a CIA operative's name. Bush's spokesman says nobody wants to get to the bottom of this more than the president. The Justice Department is investigating. This is IRN.
Here's your current KFNX weather forecast.
Good afternoon, Arizona. This is Kaja Brown with your 12:30 forecast. Looking around the state, 74 degrees in Flagstaff. Down in Tucson, it's 88. Up in Prescott, 85. Here at the KFNX studios in downtown Phoenix, it's 96 degrees. Tonight, expect clear skies with a low near 79. Today, we're looking for a high of 106.
Tune in to On Second Thought with host Mike Newcomb every Monday through Friday from 5 to 7 p.m. Mike takes a progressive look at politics and current events. It's On Second Thought every Monday through Friday evening at 5 on 1100 KFNX.
Join America's toughest sheriff every Wednesday night from 7 to 8 p.m. for the Sheriff Joe Arpaio Show on 1100 KFNX, Arizona's talk station.
Are you tired of listening to pro-government people babble endlessly about the virtues of government? Are you yearning for some pro-freedom intellectual discourse? Well, you're in luck. A top-notch pro-freedom weekend conference will be held in Phoenix at the Grace Inn in Ahwatukee on October 18th and 19th. Details are at www.freedomsummit.com. The Freedom Summit is a forum for the vigorous and peaceful exchange of ideas about how humans ought to interact with each other. People recently introduced to the concepts of freedom, as well as lifelong supporters of freedom, are encouraged to attend. This year's speakers include Objectivist author and professor Nathaniel Brandon, United States Congressman Ron Paul, former presidential candidate Harry Brown, economics professor Hans Hermann Hoppe, author Vin Soprinowitz, law professor and author Butler Schaefer, author Boston Tea Party, and several other dynamic and engaging speakers. Discounts apply for registrations received before August 1st. Go to freedomsummit.com. For details, freedomsummit.com.
1100 KFNX, Arizona's talk station.
Going to keep on dreaming. You know, are we free? I mean, Joseph, I want to ask you. I mean, you're from the inside there. You got the government, you know, using this jackboot and a gun and a badge and, you know, its clipboard. You know, tell me, how free are we compared to what you thought the year before you started your job?
We are not free at all. We, it amazes me the number of Americans that think they're free. And, you know, they're free as long as they don't ask questions. They're free as they don't, you know, if they just stay, you know, stay kind of doing the same old thing.
Stay sheep.
When they start looking into what has been lost over the last even 20 years, but over the last 30 to 40 years, freedom has diminished substantially. And the only reason that people, I think, still think they're free is because they don't realize where we are today versus where we were 20 years ago, 30 years, 40 years ago, and what the government has done, information collection as far as Social Security numbers. I mean, how everybody and their brother asks you for your Social Security number about everything when the initial number was not even supposed to be used for identification at all. It even says it on the Social Security card. So I think if people would wake up and actually look and see the slippery slope over the last few decades, they might, you know, rise up and actually get involved and slow this baby down.
Ah, slippery slope. We're on that really steep slide they have at the water parks. Yeah. So what we're going to do is I want to give out your webpage information. Let's go ahead and give people an opportunity. It's freedomabovefortune.com and then josephbannister.com also. So, you know, when you go to Freedom Above Fortune, it gives your letter that you actually wrote to your supervisors, doesn't it? I was looking at that. I saw that. That was interesting.
Yes, I think, and people, you know, I think I have an interesting story. I mean, people should see what happens when someone who took an oath to support and defend the Constitution has to give up their job, you know, because they wanted to adhere to their oath. And the IRS, even people at the San Jose office, actually disavowed my existence. People would call into the office there, and they would say that they never heard of me.
You know, that's one thing I want to discuss that for a second, is that they, once you did this paper, they said, you know what, we think it's time for you to leave, boy. Now, they could have just fired you, but you chose to voluntarily resign. You know, why didn't you challenge it? I mean, you thought, you know, what was your fear? I mean, I'd go, yeah, fire me, make my day, let's have some fun.
Well, I knew that I could see that what the government would try to do to people was discredit them or use whatever might be in their background to discredit them. And I happen to have a very clean background. I mean, I made it to be a federal agent, and they do a very in-depth background investigation. And then the 5.5 years I was at the IRS, I had, if I do say so myself, a stellar track record. And I was concerned that if I stayed there, that they would have done something to smear me and besmirch my track record, destroy my credibility, and then when I did leave the IRS, they could just say, oh, he's disgruntled, or he's a, you know, drug user, or whatever, and they'd be able to get away with it. So I decided I really better just get out of here, and with my reputation intact, so that when I do speak about this issue, I have mountains of evidence showing that I was a hard-charging, hard-working criminal investigator, and you know, the truth meant something to me.
Well, tell me, why would they pick someone like? I mean, is part of the background check is that you need to be a little bit, you know, of a bad guy yourself? I mean, I would imagine that, especially since you've come and gone, they've changed the psychological profile just a little bit.
I've had the same thought. I think, you know, because I put that I was an NRA member, and, you know, I mean, I put everything about myself, and, you know, there were things that might be construed as, you know, a right wing or whatever, but to me it was just utilizing my constitutional rights. But I put down what I was, who I was, where I went to meet with people, and but I do think that they've adjusted their profile, and they probably do not want to hire people from the private sector as much, because with that private sector experience, I came in there and I looked at things differently than the agents who came from just another division of the IRS.
You know, I have to bring this up. I remember it was just two, 3 years ago, not very long ago, that they had a big story hit the internet, and we started having fun with it, and some columnist wrote about it and made it in some papers and such, and talk radio a little bit. And it was about, I think it was Connecticut, and they had a test for law enforcement, and this one guy was filing suit made a big deal out of the fact that he was not hired because he scored too high. And their reasoning was is that, well, we found that if you are too smart, you know, that you don't fit well. And I was going, wow, think about it. You know, they went, and then you look on billboards here in Phoenix, Arizona. You'll have big billboards that will have young, you know, people that's in their shiny badge and uniform and car and gun and so on say, we're hiring. And you know who they're looking for. They're looking for those that'll just goose step to the program, you know. So I understand what they're doing. I understand what their mentality is. I understand. The thing is that now what? I mean, are you alone? Are you the only one doing this? Is there a wave of them? Is there a couple? I mean, are you the only ray of light?
No, there's not a wave, but there are other people. In fact, at the Freedom Summit that's being advertised there, there are the other colleagues that I have that are former IRS agents. John Turner, who spent 10 years as a revenue officer in the collection division, and his father-in-law was actually a chief in the IRS collection division with about 40 years experience. So he's not somebody that had a wishful thinking attitude about the income tax. If anything, he would be very supportive of it. And he resigned because of these issues. Sherry Jackson, she's a female, a CPA in Atlanta, Georgia, spent about 8 years in the IRS. She's also speaking out about these issues. There are very, very credible people that are talking about this. And the IRS is not able to, pigeonhole us as uncredentialed kooks any longer. I mean, we're talking about, you know, certified public accountants, and the IRS's own people are saying these things, and it's giving the IRS fits. And I'm happy that it is, because they're doing bad things. They're breaking the law, and it needs to be stopped.
Well, what are they going to do? You think they care what you think? I mean, you know, what's happened is a lot of people are challenging and winning. And they can't have this. I mean, even if they have a year from now, 2 years from now, 3 years from now, 4 years from now, sometime in the future they think this thing may crumble, their job, you know, they're a dying dinosaur. They're coughing up blood. I mean, they're sitting there twitching on the ground, but their tail is still wagging, and you got to stay clear of the tail. Now, what are they going to be doing with this tail that's got spikes on the end of it? I mean, they're going to be doing something. They got to try and keep the revenue coming.
Well, although I don't encourage people to necessarily take any action or inaction when they're dealing with the IRS, because it's a difficult process. But the fact of the matter is, there's about 3,000 special agents like I used to be, and there's 100,000 or so IRS employees in total. And you know, there's 250 million of us, and it makes me wonder sometimes why people don't understand. You know, if enough people just started educating themselves, learning what the limits to these agents' authority is, I mean, we really could do them in simply by not letting them get away with what they do. But it takes
by what? I mean, what are you talking about? You know, an SKS by your front door? What are you talking about?
No, I'm talking about going to that Freedom Summit. I'm talking about interacting with other people. I'm talking about not being afraid that somebody calls you anti-government or anti-tax. I mean, I love when people call me that, because I show them my picture, as you've seen there on the internet, and I say, come on, I'm not anti-government or anti-tax. I'm against the government cheating you, violating your rights, and putting people in prison illegally. Now, is that anti-government or anti-tax? And they shut up. So, you know, you have to start being assertive, and I know I don't need to tell you that. You're out there on the radio telling people what the truth is about these matters, and you know, people need to. This is our country,
and people wonder why I'm still breathing. So I ask the same thing, you know, for you. I mean, has there been any repercussions at all? I mean, you're going up against the big boys here, man.
Yeah, well, nothing so far. I mean, you know, I've gotten a few IRS notices because I stopped filing in 1998. You know, those tax returns that they want you to file at the bottom of page 2, you sign them under penalty of perjury, that they're true, correct, and complete. And now that I know all that I know, I'd be lying on the form. Now, they probably wouldn't prosecute me for lying on the form, because I'd be doing the kind of lying that they like, which is filing the return. But the fact of the matter is, I know that I'm not required to file it, and I'd be reporting information that's not required. And so therefore, if they can prove to me that I owe a tax, I'd be happy to get out my checkbook.
Well, that's what Vernie said, and they couldn't prove it. She's not guilty, but it didn't really set any precedent. Now, did it?
Well, I think that's a huge, you have no idea how big of a black eye that is when the government, who says that they have 100% effective enforcement, get an acquittal in a case like that. The government, if they're doing the right thing and they've got the law on their side, there should never be an acquittal. And yet the jury was telling the defense team after the trial that they could tell that that prosecutor was trying to deceive them. Now, why should a prosecutor have to deceive them if he's in the right, if he's got the law on his side?
Joseph, come on, man. You and I have been in this a long time. I tell you, the government doesn't care what a jury says. You know, let me tell you who's right. The guy with the big gun in your face is the guy that's right.
Now, Ernest, the thing is that one of the ways that the slavery system was done in was because people started acquitting people who were accused of harboring slaves and resisting the slave system.
You're walking right into what I want to talk about. Now, when we come back after this break, we're going to talk about the differences of the kinds of courts. You have criminal court, you have tax court. Did you know they had their own court? And they had their own judges that had give their own decisions. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about a solution. You know, is the dinosaur dying? You know, has he taken a fatal dose of hemlock? Well, we're going to talk about it when we come back on 1100 KFNX, Arizona's Talk Station, and Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, and a big independence declaring kind of guy, Joseph Bannister. We'll be right back.
Here's your current KFNX weather forecast.
Good afternoon, Arizona. This is Kodra Brown with your 1245 update. Today, expect a high of 106 with sunny skies. Tonight, clear skies with a low near 79. Current statewide temperature, 74 in Flagstaff. Down in Tucson, we have 88 degrees. Up in Prescott, it's 86. Here at the KFNX studios in downtown Phoenix, 96 degrees.
A freedom-supporting business since 1986 has joined the Declare Your Independence show. Motivity Auto Detailing is a fully mobile and self-contained service, serving the Valley's auto detailing needs for over 17 years. Motivity provides full auto detailing, including cleaning of all fixtures, vents, dash, door panels, shampooing of carpets and upholstery, engine degreasing, polishing of chrome, scrubbing of tires, dressing of all rubber and vinyl, washing, and Motivity's own multi-step buffing process and glazing that gives you a swirl-free, high-gloss finish. The price for maintaining your investment is much less than you think at only $154.95, and you are satisfied before you pay. Other packages are available. Using only the finest products and techniques, it is easy to see why Motivity is a leader in the auto detailing industry. For personal, friendly, and professional service, call to schedule your appointment today by calling 602-264-5111. That's 602-264-5111.
Have you lost money in the stock market? Are you lost as what to do to recover those losses? Hi, I'm Brett Andrews, a financial advisor and quantum portfolio manager at Wachovia Securities. Does the investment strategy buy and hold sound familiar to you? This strategy may work well during a bull market, but may not work as well during market downturns. If you'd like to learn more about the process and methods I use to help you manage risk and achieve investment goals, please give me a call today. My name is Brett Andrews, 480-443-5722. Once again, that number is 480-443-5722. Let me help you achieve your goals.
Wachovia Securities, LLC, member NYSE and SIPC.
Hi, I'm Joe Abadili of Straight Talk. Listen to my show every Saturday at high noon on 1100 KFNX, Arizona's talk station.
Wouldn't it be great if there was a convenience store for information? You know, the type of place you could go for current news on everything financial, from investing in real estate to money management and retirement planning. And if you didn't know exactly what you were looking for, there'd be a friendly person with over a quarter century of experience to answer your questions. Visit Market Rep with Mo Ansari on a radio near you. Market Rep, your one-stop source for financial information. Weekdays at 3 on 1100 KFNX, Arizona's talk station.
1100 KFNX, Arizona's talk station.
You're not lucky, you are, boy. Back in the U.S., back in the U.S., back in the U.S. and all.
Did you pick that particular cut, Kaja, for some reason? Yeah, you know, that's one thing I remember the KGB saying, you know, we want to be as feared as the IRS is in the United States. You know, after the crumbling of the Soviet Union in Russia, they said, you know, that's our goal. We want to be like the IRS. Well, the IRS said, we want to be like the KGB. Well, you know, they're about the same thing. Probably, you know, have a lot of the same common people, you know, up the tippy top. You never know. The one thing that I did want to get into before we get into the tax court thing was, you know, the law says that, you know, makes it clear that, you know, certain types of income are taxable and some aren't, and who's responsible and who isn't and how and so on. What's to stop Congress from just changing the law?
My belief is that the reason they wouldn't do that is it would be a smoking gun proof that up till the time they did change the law, they were lying to us.
Yeah, so? I mean, like they care?
Well, maybe 20 or 30 years from now they can just do that, because there really will be nobody that cares. But for the time being, I believe that's why they can't, because it would just be proof that if they had to change the law, that means that the day before they changed it, everything we said was correct. And so they can't do that. So they continue to try to deceive people and keep those of us who are trying to expose this on the run, and just, you know, keep business as usual.
Well, let's talk about tax courts. Now, a lot of people don't understand. Now, in the Verney case, they made the mistake by going to a criminal court where you have a jury. And when they did that, and I heard that they were doing that, I was like, oh, what morons. I couldn't believe they did this. That, you know, that guy, you know, he deserved a gold star for bringing that one on. Now, the thing is that normally you don't make it to any kind of an actual court. You go to the IRS's own court called tax court. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, well, basically there's two routes that can be taken with the tax, the income tax. It's a civil or a criminal route. A criminal is, as you said, with Verney Kuglin. They decided to investigate her, you know, by the CID, Criminal Investigation Division, and try to prosecute her. The route that most people are taken through is the civil route, and that's where your return is audited, and or if you didn't file, they'll try to come up with some income that you made, and then the auditor will provide their results. You can either agree with it or disagree. If you disagree, the next step would be an appeal to tax court. And the tax court is, as far as I know, these judges are generally ex-IRS people with a law degree, and there's no jury whatsoever. It's what the judge says. And I've actually attended tax court hearings, one in particular where the judge, you know, had this very concerned look on his face, and he said, you know, I'm going to consider all of your arguments very carefully over the next 2 or 3 weeks, but I need to travel back to Washington, D.C. to do so. The next day in the mail was the decision against the woman who had taken the case to tax court. It's a railroad job. I mean, it's, you know, I don't know that they ever rule in favor of the taxpayer, the citizen. It's mainly a way to get people to settle with the IRS and agree to some kind of a...
Of course it is. What's the future, Joseph? Come on. I mean, you know, you see where this is going. You know, they're going to become kinder and gentler, and we're going to become more passive, or it's going to go the other way. I mean, what's going to happen? You know,
well,
we have an enormous debt. They are indebting children that have yet to be even be born yet. You know, they are spending like you wouldn't believe, and they need revenue. And they're just, oh, we'll just print more money. I mean, this whole thing is about ready to collapse.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the IRS plays what part in that, and what are they going to do? Are they going to give them M16s? I mean, what's happening?
Well, unfortunately, I think the government is getting, you know, more militant by the day and more digging in their heels, but that's because the people are rising up as well. And I don't know where it'll end up. I hope peacefully. But I'm just one that's, I'm not going to lose hope in my country or lose hope in freedom or justice. I don't have that luxury, and I hope that there'll be enough people out there that, you know, if the founding fathers had to establish from scratch this country, we should be able to take back our freedom. We're already here. We already have 200 and something years worth of tradition of justice and freedom and liberty. And that's a lot easier row to hoe than what the founders had. So,
yeah, maybe not quite 200 years.
I like to keep a hopeful attitude. I can't live any other way. And I think it is the truth. And I think people, you know, enough people are interested in it. We don't have to sway or convince 50, 60, 70% of the people. As they say, the tireless minority will do just fine.
It's who believes it the hardest and the longest.
Yes.
And, you know, I understand, and I try and be a devil's advocate here. You know, I've been an activist for a long time. If I wasn't optimistic, I wouldn't be sitting here.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is, though, is that I want to make sure people understand, just because I had the same mentality in as early as 89 when I first became aware of just enormous corruption. I mean, it's a long story, but I was like, wow, if only the reporters knew. Let me go tell this television, radio, newspaper reporter what I know. Look. And they look at you and go, yeah, kid, you know what kind of rock you've been under? Duh. So, you know, they're part of the problem. You know, there's no getting around that. Now, then we have the Internet. You know, and right before the Internet, I remember in the early 90s, the reasons you had that, you know, tens of thousands of people would come out in the streets in support of just the hope of change with Perot. Later, of course, they find out he's a little mini-fascist himself. But the point was is that, you know, people were just starving for change. They were looking for information. They knew it was broke. Now, that wildfire has, you know, taken place on in cyberspace as well. Now, of course, immediately they tried to get control of the Internet with the Communication Decency Act, and then they, you know, they lost that battle. But and they couldn't really win anyway. Technology just, you know, the whole Internet thing is about going around censorship. It considers it a break in communication, just routes around it. So I'm looking at, okay, the future is going to be what? People are going to be informed. They're going to be, you know, knowledgeable. They're like, eh. So the main thing, I would think, the big hurdle is income tax withholding from your paycheck. Now, you know, how is that going to be thwarted? Now, there are people that are doing that. They're just saying, hey, we'll do a lease back of employees, you know, lease of your employees. I did it for my pizza restaurant. We had a company, you know, that, you know, we all were employed by, and they took care of all the paperwork and everything. But some of these around the country are just saying, you know, we're not withholding taxes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, explain that.
Well, there are a number of business owners who, just like researching the income tax laws, when you research the withholding laws, you find the same kind of deceit and skullduggery. And when you own a business, you know, certain business owners realize, gee, this is not required of me to take money out of my workers' paychecks. It just is not required. And how dare I, you know, take money out when there's no requirement to do so? And so they're taking the bull by the horns and stopping the withholding from the paychecks. And some of them are being attacked by the IRS. And again, who knows where it'll end up? I mean, if enough businesses do it, eventually the IRS cannot, you know, they cannot go after all the people that do it. And I don't know where it's going to end up. But
yeah,
I know
it takes special people to be on the tip of the spear like that, because you know they're going to come after you.
Yeah, but again, they do have limited resources, so it really people have to pursue this for principle. If they're thinking they're going to save a few bucks, that's not the way it is. It's about principle. If you're in this just to save a few bucks in taxes, you're better off just going to H&R Block. But if you're, you know, about freedom and justice and making sure the best you can get the government to obey the law.
How far are you willing to go, Joseph? I mean, it's, you know, they start banging. I mean, you have a wife and two young boys. I'm sure your wife, you know, is probably concerned, you know, for your safety and security of your family. I mean, you know, you keep pressing on this. You go to things like, oh, the Freedom Summit, you know. You have the We the People after the Freedom Summit is going to be a free on the 19th. Sunday, October 19th, at I think it's 4:00. We the People are going to have you and several other speakers are going to be talking about this very soon. It's going to be totally devoted to taxes. It's separate from the Freedom Summit, and it's free. Now, Freedom Summit's not free. That's $175. Yeehaw, because it costs a lot of money to put that on. But the thing is that, you know, there is going to be a lot of focus on this, and I want to understand in the last, you know, minute or so we got here, you know, how far are you willing to go? I mean, will you ever discharge a firearm under any circumstances?
Well, I don't know. I mean, my focus is on, you know, nonviolent educating people. I don't want to, you know, if I've got millions of people next to me, tens of millions of people, we don't need firearms. We can force them to obey the law. So at this point, I don't think we're anywhere close to that. I'm an ardent supporter of the Second Amendment, and I know why it's there. think peacefully we can make a difference, but we, you know, people have to get educated and get motivated.
And the biggest thing they need is to stop being afraid.
Absolutely.
No
fear. Possible. I'm
no
not
fear.
Afraid of them.
No fear. No fear. Well, here's a guy that, you know, is blazing a trail for you. He worked inside the IRS, went to the bad guys with the guns, and they took away his gun. They said, you know what, thank you very much. You're on administrative leave. We'll be talking to you later. Ah, well, I quit. So, I, you know, you definitely set a good example for us and your family. We'll see you tomorrow on Declare Your Independence once again.
Thank you for listening to Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. Join Ernest every Monday through Friday at noon for Declare Your Independence. The opinions of the host, guests, and callers do not reflect those of the North American Broadcasting Company, Incorporated.